Oh shit.
Yeah, it's weird when Tim's not here, you know, doing all your works.
Dang.
Oh, it's going to be a fun hour.
Oh shit, we're popping off already.
Ah, this guy.
Daniel's not here, Tim's not here. Woo. Yeah. Gloves are off. Oh, I'll do the... Well, Talbot fucking fucks around with that shit. I'll do the next one. Welcome to the next episode of Comedy Guy. This is part two in the last episode with Tim Reedy. In the last episode with Tim Reedy, we got Tim's side of the story about going to London. We heard a little bit about some of the shows. We heard a little bit about Ari's show. We talked about that. We heard a little bit about the adventures in the Highlands. However... Now we're going to hear it from the
shitting over all.
Don't interrupt his intro.
It was. You know what? All things considered, Tim was very
cordial,
very polite.
Oh, polite.
And understated about his feelings about Oleg.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not. I'm the only one not a native speaker here. You
know? So I mean, to be honest, Lewis isn't one either.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't count. Yes. Tumbert's as close as we've got.
Where's the Scottish one you had?
Well, I did spend a week in London, so.
Right. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but fine. While we're at it here, so Tim was mentioning, and I understood it as well, that alcohol makes Tumbert Sild talk in more of an accent. We know this. Yeah. This is true. And of course, being in Scotland, being in the United Kingdom particularly, but being in Scotland will produce that accent. But as I was also told by Tim, when he went and did a set in Glasgow, he comes up and says, "I laddie, I'm Estonian. I'm this guy from Estonia, laddie," and just confused the shit out of these poor Scottish people.
Yeah.
They have no idea what this guy's going on about.
And I made like a bit about being from Eastern Europe, and I was like, "What? How does this work?" Yeah. And I did not address the accent. And
they think that's a character. I think that's what they... think.
Right. I didn't quite... Well,
to be honest, by that time, I was like three Guinnesses in into that set. So.
So they believed you're a... Yeah, I didn't get it. They think you're a Scottish person faking it, or did they...
I don't know.
I don't know what it was.
I really don't know.
So there's some character work that needs to... Like, I understand. That's fine. That's natural. We all, you know, we have a tendency to change our accent, yeah. But
even I got it.
First impressions, really? Even yeah.
Some people thought that I was from Essex.
Oh, okay. Is that some particular and twang or something?
No. They thought that I fabricated my accent and the whole stuff about being Estonian. So I had like guys coming up to me like during the breaks, mm-hmm. asking random questions about Estonia, like, you know, Tapa. But they pronounce it weirdly.
Tapa.
Like tapa.
Tapa.
And I'm like, tapas? Mm. And they're like, no, tapa.
Oh, so
like,
you failed, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you mean tapa. Oh, okay. Yes, nice place. It's a shithole.
That's exactly what someone faking it would try to say. They'd hear and go, oh, no, you don't pronounce it like that. I'm a local.
From near there,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, but
it is a shithole.
How... Roger, you also, I have noticed in your act, you are the opposite to Roger in your accent, in that the more nervous you are, the more you lean into accent that I speak like this. How did you go in London?
I mean, the stuff about leaning into the accent from the roots is because it's easier to... to get the pauses for taking a breath.
Mm.
Because the, how do you say, like the rhythmic part of speaking is more similar to Estonian. Okay. So I don't run out of air. Because when I'm doing a set, like for talking for 5 minutes, it's like I could lose my breath.
Okay.
So that's why I've decided like, fuck it. I'm just gonna, I'm not gonna like force to speak good, I'm just gonna speak the way I would speak if I'm like really comfortable.
Sure.
So that's how like...
But you, okay. So, but how were you like, cause that the last mic that we did in Porta, would say, and I mean, no offense, but
good.
You really turned on the accent for that one.
For
the second one particularly. Yes.
Yeah, the first one, but that was
the thing. That was the good show, right? That was the good show. So
the second one, yes.
Wait. Oh, I forget. Wasn't the first show the good show?
I can't remember, and I did really bad in the second. So
maybe it was
the first show was the good one.
Maybe I don't.
It was weird. It was the opposite of what you expect usually. But anyway, when you are in that situation, when, you know, fine, you're nervous for whatever reason on the given night, you turn on the accent more. How did you, how would you say how much, I didn't hear you do it in English. How much accent did you have in London?
Oh, I still have it. Like, I speak like I speak now. When it's like, but how do I say? I just let loose with the accent. But some of the times, like, when I did like the whole week and I listened to my different recordings, the accent was all over the place in terms of like the volume of it.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how like how it triggers, because I'm not like thinking about doing it. It's more
subconscious.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yes, when you said like when I'm more nervous or something like that, I get more of those words because. And those pronunciations, because I think I found maybe it's that we haven't done an English set for so long.
True.
So when I'm trying to speak like really correctly, I'll be slow, or like slower, and I can't really like deliver my punchlines and stuff like that. So I'm just gonna be like, okay, fuck it. I'm just and the first night I saw Radu. Mm. And he has a thick accent of his country.
Romania, Radu.
Yeah. And he's a really fun guy. Like, he had a crushing set. Like, he headlined the event we were watching, me and Ari. And the accent didn't really bother me, because that's, like, something I've been, like, thinking about. Like, oh, I don't want to sound weird. Like, because the Estonian accent seems kind of weird.
I think that's just your interpretation, but I understand why you would think that, for sure.
But then when I saw him do it at like with his accent, I was like, ah, fuck it. That's me. Like, that's who I am. Like, why not?
Yeah, sure. So we're living in this little bubble here. And, you know, if you're not getting out, if Radu's been living in London now for a couple of years
Seven years.
Okay. Yeah. So he's used to his status as an outsider, used to, he's done countless gigs to, and no doubt tried, you know, I'll do the accent at this level, the accent at this level. And so he's worked out and he said he crushed, so.
Oh yeah, he did really good. Like, he was the best of the night that we saw.
Dang, okay.
Yeah. And Ari did a couple of spots at that same venue, but yeah, I only went to that one show. So I only saw him once, but yeah, I hadn't seen him before, like ever. I only met him at Edinburgh.
Okay, yeah.
And I did like one of his mics, but I think I ran a little bit late, and I was just doing my spot and then running back to ours, so I couldn't see him perform.
Sure. How about your accent? Were you conscious of any of this, or is it just a factor of how many Guinnesses Tambert had?
Well, the alcohol. You know, it's not good for speech usually, you know, and I drank a lot of alcohol.
You did.
So
yeah, he loves it.
So when I get drunk, you know, it's just much easier for me to like meld my Estonian accent with the Scottish one. Right. So it's like this weird, like amalgamation of, you know,
I'm concerned about you moving to London. Like, you're going to develop an alcoholism.
When Tim is paying for the trip.
True. Which one's going to be?
But when it's on his budget, man, you...
I mean...
The ground's the limit.
I mean, it's
know?
Like, sure, we drink a lot of alcohol in Estonia, but it's also that culture in London and England of, like, just having a drink and very social and gathering at the pub.
Mm-hmm. Two Guinness every night.
Every
at
night.
At least.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was like hot cocoa. You don't feel the buzz coming.
Unless you...
From the taste, but then you're like, you feel it and you'll get another one.
Yeah, it's kind of like a hot cocoa, and it's kind of like, you know, like a bit of a cuddle.
Yes. I guess. It's the best drink ever.
The Guinness, that's right. Yeah, you and Ari are having Guinness that night.
Every night.
Yeah,
we love it. Like from Edinburgh, we had it like, there the tradition was born. Like every time we're at that island, at that part of the world, we'll just all we have is Guinness. Yeah. And we even like turned down a couple of bars for not having Guinness. And they looked at us weird. So I guess, I don't know, maybe it's like Saku Gold for them. No idea.
Mm.
But they were some of them were like, you really want Guinness? And we were like, yeah, give me.
You're like a couple of YouTube backpackers who come to Estonia and like, oh wow, we've heard about Saku. Let's have Saku, man.
Yeah, that was basically it. Yeah, but we loved it. And then we had like a drink with those Estonian guys who lived there.
Oh shit, yeah.
And those guys told us the same thing, like, yeah, maybe I'll have like one. But we were like fucking four or five in.
Down and back. Oh my God, there's some, I want to talk about that night, but Talbot, let's come to you. So have you done a comedy outside of Estonia before?
No, unless you count like doing a speech in front of like the EU council, like building as like.
Okay, was there jokes in it or what?
yeah, it did.
Okay, well something.
Like, I mean, everybody else there was like, San Marino is a beautiful country with great people. And I was just like, oh, we have really bad weather. You know, it's like not a good place.
All right, so yeah, did you model UN somewhere or something?
No, like there's some like weird like project in basically, like, we traveled to, like, Strasbourg, and it was, like, this, like, you know, different, like, high schools from all over Europe, and it was this, like, weird presentation thing.
And it's just a chance to meet chicks, basically. Like, it's just a...
Yeah, but we're all, like, you know, 17 and really awkward. Yeah. So it's, like, yeah.
Okay, fired up. So it's the first time that you've done comedy outside of, like, in native speaker land.
Yeah, in native speaker land.
In walks Talbot with his accent into the United
Local
Kingdom.
Local guy.
Local, hello, I come from York United Kingdom. okay, so how was it for you that very first time? How did you feel doing it for the first time?
I was a bit odd, I guess. Because when I got to London, I had like zero spots. So it's like, I was trying to like get in like any gig possible.
Man of opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, I just showed up. Oh, anybody canceled? Yeah, you can get a spot.
But during the day you showed up? At what time?
Like when the mics were like, I showed up like an hour early to every mic. Mm. So I just, you know, it was like... I was an hour early just waiting for everybody else. Like the host wasn't even there.
There's something about that. Like, yeah, for Ari's show, we showed up like 2 hours before and they're all looking at us like, what? 2 hours? And we're like, but this is normal. This is what we do. And then we were, I was freaking out because it's like 45 minutes before the show and the guy's like, okay, I'll set the room up now. And I'm like, okay, yes, please fucking set the room up. But he set it up and it was perfect. Like we did some minor adjustments and then that's it. Like they... Mm-hmm. We're used to, I don't know, we used to get into a place and the bar owner is like some guy like, oh, what? I must, but I want to sell cheese balls. Why not I do? And
they're professional.
In London, they at least get it, right? They were like, they got it. Like, this is comedy. We know what it is. There's chairs, there's speakers. It was set up at the last minute, but that's the style.
Yeah. Well, we like it more as when we like set it up like 2 hours before and then we have like a 3.5 hours to walk around.
Right, to chill. And
yeah.
But there's no time for that in the big city. That's a small country luxury. So, okay. Mm. So it was the last minute, you know, you were just turning up.
Yeah.
But that was the hustle, right? That's the
pretty much
the thing. So were you just like, because here's my theory. My theory is that you guys in Estonian guys, first of all, you're pretty well drilled. Like, you know, like, first of all, I got a set. You know, I've got 5 minutes. It's reasonable. It's got a couple of jokes in it. Okay, there's a set, right? Which already puts you in the top 2/3, I'd say. You're already above the top, at least a third of everyone else.
Yeah,
we
have like leapfrogged, like
just
half,
from that.
At least.
Then not only that, you're used to this, showing up 2 hours early. Oh, can I help with chairs? Can I do this? Can I do that? You're just used to that idea, which is again, way more than any English comedian has ever thought to do. So you guys turn up, you got a couple of jokes, you're friendly enough. You're interesting. Oh, who is this foreign person? We're not quite sure if they're telling a lie or not, but nevertheless, we'll go with it. And you help out. I can be a reasonable person. This already puts you well into the top 50%, even more of comedians doing that circuit straight away.
Yeah, because for them, it's so hard like to think about like the some of the mics I did, or like especially this one mic I did, it was put together so badly that like I don't want to diss on anybody, but it was like 15 minutes before the show starts, the host arrives. And it's like people are just having a drink at the bar and then you're like a painting in the corner. Nobody gives a fuck. That was the show. And when I thought about that, I was like, okay, if I would be starting out there, and that would be like the first 5 years of doing comedy.
in that room where, so it was a room, like, as I remember you telling me, like, it wasn't like there were just people drinking. It was just a room and you just have to stand up and be like, okay guys, now we're doing comedy.
Yeah, it was like really loud, like really loud. And everybody was just like having a chat. I sat like 7 meters from the stage. I couldn't hear shit.
Yeah.
And they had like these small speakers, like Tambet's drink, that big.
So shitty speakers.
Like 2 JBLs basically.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was the speakers. And they were turned to the max gain max. So it sounded like, that was the sound, the whole set. And yeah, when I was on stage, like the biggest table had 8 people and the waitress came to take their order.
During your set.
Yes. So it was horrible. And when you think about, like, if you have to do those rooms for 5 years, you're not practicing your material. You can't do basically anything. Mm. Whereas here you can, like, you can really work on it. You can get, like, it's so easy to get good spots, like on good shows. Like Ükskõik is your first mic and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like the, how do you say, like the keskkond.
Environment
is like super good for working your set. Mm-hmm. So that's like our plus.
Right, plus for us. And I think also what helped you guys, like Mr. Tambad, who rolls into town and starts hustling straight away. But I think the real, the good shit happens when there's a few of you in London, because then like the reason you're getting spots is because Kim helped you, but then also like Oleg got some spots and then you're talking to this guy. And when you're all talking to each other, talking about spots, that's where the shit happens. Because also, like, if you are just that London person, well, I can go tonight, I can go tomorrow, I don't know. You guys are like, I'm here for 3 days. Yeah. I need to make shit happen right now. I'm going to talk to these guys. I'm going to find out any bar. I'm going to talk to them. So limited amount of time and a good group of friends who can at least point you to some different places and give you a reasonable clue about what's up.
Yeah.
That I think makes, like, that's why you're getting spots, right? That's kind of the difference. It's something in the middle of, yeah, all those London comedians whine like, oh, I can't get a spot, everything's shit.
Oh yeah, I was super surprised when the local comedians, like after the show, asked me for a spot. Like, do you know any spots? And I was like, I've been here 4 days. You live here.
Yeah, right.
I should be asking you for a spot. And yeah, it was super weird. But like, yeah, if it was like for, if we had been there for like a few months or so, we could like do like every mic. Now we know what mics are good, what are bad. So we can do like the good shit.
Yeah, we'd be Comedy Estonia. We'd have a spreadsheet. We'd have rankings. Yeah, yeah. We'd have the whole thing laid out. We'd have a schedule.
Yeah, we need to go and take over.
Yeah, we'll send Henrik there with you next time. Yeah. We'll just send Henrik and his job is to work it out.
He's going to be so pissed for that travel plan. He's going to,
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm also, dear listeners, I am worried because in a few days' time, Sander has a show on Saaremaa, which means, okay, fine, you've got to travel to Saaremaa. However, Daniel Weinbergs is going to take my car.
Oh.
I'm taking a Casco away.
If you thought the first world war ended
badly. Yeah. Oh, he's gonna drive in. He's gonna have the handbrake in the whole time.
Yeah.
Because your car has the.
Oh, he doesn't know how to work that. I'm gonna show him.
Yeah, just like don't put it on. Tell him not to put it on.
He's not gonna work it out. Yeah. There's no handbrake, Daniel. Don't think about it.
You have to leave it on level ground.
Yeah.
Dude, think about him on the ferry, just holding the brake pedal.
If you're on a slope, you have to sit here and hold the brake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just tell him that the handbrake is broken. Let him like figure it out. That would be so good for him. And don't tell him like right away. Mm. Call him when he's driving and be like, yo man, the handbrake's not working.
Forgot to tell you.
Hey. Yeah. So you need to be on level ground. And I'd like to see, because in that, they're not taking the car over the ferry.
Aren't they?
Yeah, no. Hendrik's gonna pick them up. Yeah. So the bit's gone.
Oh, dang. I thought they were taking my car. I thought they were. I assumed that they said they're going to Saaremaa. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, but they have these schemes.
Oh, they're just gonna park it at the port? That's even worse.
Yeah.
Oh, like some dodgy fucking whatever it is, Vihul. What's it called? The Vihul? No, Rahula. I don't know. Any one of those ports.
Yeah. Virtsu.
Virtsu. That's it. My car's gonna sit there. Fuck them.
That's gonna be bad, man.
Tom, but how many spots did you do in London?
I did 6.
Six spots, not bad. As, does That's that good. Count Ari's shows or not? There's two for Ari.
No, that's okay. Not counting the audience.
Six
shows.
Regular spots. Not bad. Okay, no. That's good. How many spots did you do, Roger?
Eight.
Okay.
Something like shit. That.
Nice, nice.
But I had spots when I landed.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like good on you. You did really good. Yeah.
Everything was booked. Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose like your biggest advantage was the 250k video you sent.
Or maybe that I emailed the guys beforehand.
I emailed them before you did.
Yeah, but you know, I asked him like, oh, you emailed on like what day? Sunday? Monday?
Like I had sent a couple of emails and then you asked me like, spots what?
Like I asked him on Monday and he said that he sent the emails on Sunday or so. Mm-hmm. I sent mine on Thursday. But like he told me to write, hello, come from Estonia, stand up comedy 3 years, spot please. And I was like, fuck that noise. I had like these viited.
References.
I put in references.
That's good.
I said like, hey, I've been doing comedy in Estonia with Comedy Estonia. And then I added a link to the website to the YouTube page. Ooh. And then boom, boom, boom. All the links everywhere.
Did you link though directly to your special video that has so many thousands of
views? Oh yeah, I did that. Yes. And another video. But they're in Estonian. So I wrote there, don't have any sets recorded in English, but I do have in my native tongue.
Right, nice.
So you can see me having a go.
So yeah, Roger, you got to go watch that. What's the police? What's the video? Police and...
Police, can't translate it. Police came to my house, something like that.
Okay, and that video from Roger on the Comedy Estonia YouTube has like over 250,000 views for some fucking reason, I don't know. Yes. And
thank you, people.
Yes. So the point is though, that when Roger's approaching promoters in London, you kind of... put that in there and the guy loads it up and he's like, he doesn't understand a word obviously, but he sees 250,000 views and that's enough to get him wet.
Yeah. This guy is swinging a big dick.
He's got something going on there. You know,
something's fishy is going
on. Something's up for 250,000 views. So, okay, we'll put you on our shitty 5 minute open mic at a bar where nobody's listening to you after you got a quarter of a million views.
Yes, it was super fun.
Work it.
But some of the guys didn't even read my email because like when I came there, I was like, hey, I'm Roger here for a week. They were like, there was this guy. Nobody had like, but there were some places where like people were, oh, Roger, right?
Nice.
Then
nice,
I laughed.
Nice.
I was like, yes, big deal. Where is the backstage to the open mic?
Yeah, where's my rider? I need my waters.
At one open mic, I did an encore.
Really?
Yes.
How? So you said, I'm done. You said, thank you, I'm Roger, I'm done. Yes. And then what? How did you get to the encore?
Well, it wasn't exactly like that. But like, I crashed at this one gong show. Mm-hmm. So they have these concept shows where like the crowd, like if three members of the crowd like say like, you're bad, you have to get off. Mm-hmm. But you have like 5 minutes. So I crashed that show and then like I got some contacts and I got invited to this other show where you could do like 10 minute spots and it was like a club show. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Or club open mic.
Was it ticketed or?
No, it was like an open mic, but it was like you could do like longer sets. Like people were doing tens and stuff like that. I got invited to there and then this guy comes up to me and asks me like the host man, like how many gigs you've done. And I was like over 800. And he was like, oh, okay. So I'm gonna maybe give you light at 7 or maybe at 10. So now I understood. Okay. Like if I was just like, oh, I'm 30 sets in, you're going to do 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But he was like, oh, if this guy goes good, he can do longer. So I went and did my set. But during like the last bit I had, like I got the light and I was like, okay, the lights. So I have 1 minute left. So I was trying to wrap it up. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, the sound went down. Like I could hear like cracks, like cracking, mm-hmm. and the sound went down. And I was like, holy shit, I just went over. So I'm the fucking dickhead here. Yeah. So I just said, I put the mic back in the stand. I said, sorry. And I walked off like, sorry. And people and the crowd was like, what's going on? Mm. And I said, oh, I went over my time. Sorry. Mm. But the guys from the booth said, no. We had some problem with the cable. You can go on. So now I'm thinking, okay, I gotta walk back to the stage and it's gonna be super weird. So I grabbed the mic, raised my hand and said, encore. Yeah, and I was like, and I like kept on pushing it like, oh, this is the first encore at an open mic you've ever seen in your life. So yeah, it was super fun and I did like extra 4 minutes or so.
Nice. You got to work that. Like, there are those, you know, there's mics when I host them and I'm like, you'll do your fucking time or I'm going to bum rush the stage, right? Yeah. The reason that if you're a host, if you need to get the comedian off, you need to establish that beforehand. Like, this is what's going to happen. Because even if the guy's a bit shit, there's an awkwardness to pulling someone off stage.
Yeah.
Even if they're bombing, even if it's a bit much, like, especially I'm hosting these conferences all the time and some guy fucking blah, blah, blah. Like, you can stand at the side of the stage and he doesn't notice you and he keeps talking. And like, if someone's in the middle, even if we all register that this guy's going too long, there's still some weird social awkwardness about like getting on stage and cutting.
Yeah, because then everybody's going to be like, that guy pulled that guy off.
Right, even though it was a bomb. So that's why when I'm hosting and I'm like, and I make it really clear, this is the scene, this is the vibe, all right? I am gonna, like I tell people about it, this is what's expected. Expect this, expect that I'm gonna bum rush the stage. Expect that I'm gonna do some crazy shit and play with the lights or something, right? Like this is, you've gotta set that straight up already. Yeah. Otherwise as a host, I seem like the cunt. Threw someone.
Those mics were good. Like they're like everybody had light.
Okay.
Like so the light, so they show you the flashing light. And that means you have 1 minute left. Wrap your shit up.
Okay, so wrap it up. Yeah.
Yeah. But that mic was it was weird. Like they were giving like more time. So I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna.
That's hard. Like do seven, but maybe if we don't pull you off, do 10. I know it's a comedy thing. It's not something we would do, but it's like because you've got to then adjust. You got to do seven and have another bit, I guess.
Yeah, but I was like, okay. What I did was I just like did my set to be like 10 minutes. Mm. I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to, if they pull off me at seven, I'm going to be off at seven. But yeah, it was all good and it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
So yeah.
So Tom, but you did 2 gigs up in Glasgow?
Yeah, I did 2, yeah.
And the first one was rough. Real rough. Walk us through. The first one was rough. There were some people in the corner. It was really like open mic. What, like the worst thing? Like when people think about shit open mic, you know, they think about hard things, some stereotype. That was it.
Actually, like it wasn't, you know, the worst mic I had like during those 2 weeks. Because in London, I had like a couple. It was just like, you know, 6 comedians. And I was like, you know, the host is like, you know, he's like bald. He's like 60 years old. He's been doing this for a long time. You know, he's seen like talents like come and go from. So it's like, you know, he's just hosting and it's a bit, you know, weird. And it's like, you know, the laughs you get are kind of like,
So you had, even though they were drunk and a little bit, you know, off, they were still audience.
Yeah.
And you appreciated
in,
that.
You know, it was like in the first Glasgow show, it was like, you know, it was like 10 comedians. On one side, and on the other side, you had like the rowdy people from Exeter. So they were like, you know, going wild. This one chick was going wild. She like, you know, just kept talking over everybody's set. You know, she went to the bar and during the middle of somebody's set, just really loudly ordered like, oh, it was like louder than the mic. Like, could I get 4 tequilas, please? Like, oh, it was crazy.
She said, please.
Yeah. So you had to go at that one. Did you do all right? Like, could they listen to you a bit again because you're a foreigner, you're a little bit weird? Did that somehow grab their attention?
Thanks, Lewis.
Yeah.
A bit fucking weird.
You're a fucking weird guy. As a foreigner, you're weird. Yeah. I say as an Anglo, anyone as Anglo-Saxon, anyone who's foreign is fucking weird. All right, that's how Anglo-Saxon people see the rest of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a fair assessment. But like, what was the question?
Fuck the girl?
Yes. Was there sex? Did they give you a little bit of an easier time because you were foreigner?
I think just because I was like different, like some things were just more, you know, because like when his
it was a handicapped mic. He was the only guy standing up. Jesus. I was a bit different.
I mean, it's like in this scene, you know, we have like, you basically have like, you know, 16 white guys every night, I guess, with like four, you know. So it's like, so you have like 12 like Scottish dudes and you have some person from, you know, Eastern Europe. So it's a bit like different. Then.
Sure. So there was something to grab them, at least to give their attention for a second.
And also, I'm from a different scene. So like my influences, okay, foreign influences, some might, you know, match up, but like...
Was that a thing? You kind of see that the other comedians, there's a little bit of sameness, a little bit of similarity in their styles coming from a small place in a small way.
Yeah, I guess like with every scene, like you see the people who kill and you're like, or like if you have like a headliner and he has an opener and they're on tour for a long time, the opener might, you know, adopt some mannerism just automatically because you're spending so much time together. So like if you're in one scene, and you see the same micers going on stage, you know, seeing the same, doing their own thing. It sort of like, you know, kind of blends in. So if you have somebody like me who just, you know, flies in, you know, it's just from a different scene. So it's like, you know, there's a difference to it. I guess.
Makes sense. And little they know that you guys are all just ripoffs of Ari and Sander to begin with. Yes. So they know. But they
Oh, I did Sander's jokes there. Yeah. They fucking killed.
Yeah. Daddy issues.
Yes. I said that Sander puked in my house.
Oh, wow.
That's what I said. Yeah. Gotta let the people know, you know.
So you did the first Glasgow show, but the second one was like a ticketed show. You didn't get paid, but it was people had to pay a ticket to get into the second show.
Yeah, guys, it was a ticketed show with like 40 to 50 people, I think.
Hey, all right. That's all right. That's legit.
It was crazy. Like the room was brilliant. Mm. It was just, I mean, the bar was interesting. It was just like three random grandmas just to like operate this one bar. Because it used to be like a strip club and like due to COVID went out of business. So they just, you know, rented the room for stand-up.
That's tremendous.
So yeah.
And by these old ladies.
Yeah. It was like, it was really cold. It was like in a basement. So they had to have like heaters on specifically for that night. But it was, really good gig. It was really interesting. Like the host, or like the one who basically organized the show, it was like a DJ. His name is Mike Emotion. And so like before...
Emotion?
Mike Emotion.
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 Mike Emotion.
Mike Emotion. Mike Emotion. No, wait. Mikey Motion?
Mikey Motion.
Oh. Oh, Mikey Motion.
I thought it was like Mike.
My Emotion.
Yeah. Emotion.
Yeah. Right.
Try doing comedy in Glasgow with the name Mike Emotion. Like it's not... like. Feelings?
That sounds so funny. When your DJ name is Emotion.
Emotion.
DJ Emotion.
It should be Henrik's new.
Yeah.
When he's DJing.
So DJ Bad Vibes.
DJ No Travel Plan. So you did the second one, but that was like better. It was more well organized. There was 40, you know, a few people there. How much was the ticket, by the way? Do you know?
I don't know. I assume it was around like 6 to 10 pounds, I guess.
Yeah. Is what is pretty normal. Okay. Yeah. Something like that.
I mean, with 40 people, it's not bad at all, you know.
And was, so you did a set. Did Oleg do a set on the second night as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's funny, like the Glasgow shows, we got them through a comedian in, through one of the gigs we did in London. There was a, like, I guess like somewhat established comedian there. So he said, oh, I have a couple of friends down in, you know, Scotland, you know, I can get you some spots. And I don't know what he said or what Oleg and Tim told him, but Oleg got introduced to the stage. Like, he's a comedian touring Europe. He's coming on. Please welcome Oleg Kalinkin. You know, it's like, wow. Quite interesting.
Did Oleg go on before you?
Yeah. Both shows. So
in your head, you're like, if Oleg's getting, am I getting?
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, I'm not the last comedian, but I'm like one before last,
second last.
Ooh, yeah, second last. That's a good spot.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like, okay, I was like, okay, what intro am I getting now? Yeah. And it was like, okay, you know, I didn't get as shiny of an intro as Oleg did, but yeah, it was funny.
He just said dumb, but
yeah. Oleg's the main star, but Tombat is just the opener.
I'm just
his
opener. Yeah.
Just Oleg's opener.
I mean, Oleg's the one with the camera, you know.
Sure, he looks pro, you know.
Dude, Oh, we had so much fun. Like looking at those guys, those three musketeers, Oleg, Tambet, and Tim. They looked like they were doing this weird, you know, the Kaksikangat, like the travel shows.
Oh, okay.
Like two guys traveling abroad, and Oleg was with his camera like everywhere. Oh yeah, they looked like they were on a set all the time. Like every place they went.
Oleg did carry that around everywhere.
That's his thing. He's a videographer. He films things. Yeah. I don't know what happens to that film, but he films things. Either way, I don't know. It goes into some archive.
I mean, it's cool that he does it.
Sure. Yeah.
But it looked super funny. Like, and he offered like the shittest mic I did. Like he offered to come film it before like he said, I don't have any mics. It would have been so funny if we had like the video of that mic. Oh my God. I'm so sad that he didn't come because then everybody would be like, holy fuck, who's that guy with his own camera crew?
I am big in Estonia.
Yes, and then I'm bombing. Oh my God.
What was, Roger, break it down. In the episode I did with Tim last night, I don't think I explained it well enough. The London Estonian people. Because the best I had was like 90s throwback savages who just want to listen to old school Koit Tome. Like,
yeah.
It's.
They were really patriotic.
Patriotic. Patriotic, we could say, yeah.
Yes.
Right. Super, super over the top.
Yeah. But I think it's because, like, they're a small community in the big city.
Okay.
So I don't even know. Like, the guys didn't know that, like, amongst each other. Like, the guy who invited me and Ari back to his place, that guy, like, he invited, like, 20 people. And I think he knew, like, three of them.
So they're not a crew, but just somehow, was it just somehow there was this orgy feeling, not real orgy, but feeling of Estonian patriotism. We've just watched Ari. Everyone knows Ari Matti. We just had Estonian show. And then it sent them over the edge into this frenzy of, because we went to a bar that was next to where we did the show. And then like we walked in and I remember, so we walked in and it was me, Roger and Ari. And I remember at first we were all three of us were like, what is this shit? Yeah. And it was all
because it was
those,
so bright,
all those weird guys. And I know eventually Ari kind of warmed up to them. He found them amusing eventually.
I knew one of the guys like a little bit.
Okay.
Because I played like football against him. So we were not in the same team. And one of my teammates went to the same school as that guy. Okay. So we like had like a...
Some.
Yeah, we'd seen each other before.
Right.
But it turned out great. Like they weren't like weird. They were like, they had like funny stories. And one guy, oh my God, this one guy told, it was so funny. Like, because like we're Estonians and like the Estonian language is such a superpower because nobody can understand what you're saying. And they kept on telling us, like, because they wanted their own music.
Yeah.
And me and Ari were like, oh, maybe we can get some of our songs. And this one guy said, yeah, the white fat one. Talk to the white fat one.
In Estonian,
yeah. Estonian, yeah. Talk to
like
the
box enemy.
Yeah, yeah. Selle paksu valgega.
And it's fine. You can yell that shit across the bar.
Yeah, but like it wasn't like white wasn't like racial. Mm-hmm. Like the both bar chicks or the three of them, they were all white. Mm-hmm. But the one had like a white tank top and was fat.
Right.
And we laughed so hard because like they talked about her like she was an NPC. Like she wasn't a real person.
Like a human jukebox.
Yeah. Yes. Talk to the white fat one. And the other thing was like this one guy told me, like pulled me aside, was like, hey, I've been together with my lovely lady for like 6 years. Still wants to bang Ari Matti. And he was like super like, oh, he laughed about it.
She wants to, the girl
yeah,
wants
the girl,
to bang
yeah,
Ari Matti.
Still wants to, like it was the greatest thing ever. And I laughed so hard and I was like, hey, Ari, come. Ari, come.
Was she there?
The girlfriend, no. No,
okay.
I think not. I don't know.
Some weird cuckold situation.
Yeah, no idea.
Does he watch? Is that the
threesome thing?
So, this guy with the threesomes. Yeah. Always a threesome with this guy, you know?
Double threesome sealed.
Yes.
Wow, that's not a bad nickname.
It's a good nickname to have.
And this
it's a high reputation to live up to, though. He's got a...
Yeah.
Only one of you? Sorry, ladies.
Oh, but it was so funny. So, yeah, I told the guy, hey... Tell Larry what you told me. So he told, oh, we had such a good time. And the guys had like funny stories. So we were drinking. And yeah, then they invited back to their place. Oh my God. And it, like, it's London and we're drunk. So we don't, like, during Ali's shows, like me and Dumbet had like six or seven, like, no.
Many Guinnesses.
Many. Yeah. But like, from like together, like we had six.
Six, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so three for each. So we were drunk before and then we had more drinks there. So I was like six Guinness in. And we're like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go see where those guys live. But we weren't thinking about, like, the train trip there is an hour. So now we're sitting on a train, me and Ari, and just like slowly sobering up. And thinking about, like, are we really going there? The taxi back is gonna be like £80. But yeah, we went. It was a nice place. The guy was like super friendly. We had a blast. Oh, and Ari forgot his shirt.
Oh, that's right.
And the guy, like me jokingly, like when we got back to our Airbnb, jokingly, I wrote to that guy, hey, have you seen Ari's shirt? Mm. And then he sent me a picture and I said, big problem. Ari's going away tomorrow. That's his show shirt. And the guy said, yeah, I'll bring it to you. And we were like, that guy was so pissed drunk at that moment. We were like, ah, like, it's like, we'll never see that shirt again. And he was like 11, like a.m. Sharp.
We're having breakfast.
Yeah. And the guy's like, I'm here. Dude, it was so like.
He drove across London to return our shirt.
Oh, he lived so far away.
Yeah.
Oh, and like hats off to that guy. Yeah. He was like a fucking chemical engineer or some shit like that.
And then some money. Because that was the difference then I saw is when we went to Brussels, the Estonians there were like different, right? Like in London, I don't know, it's a big city. They feel isolated, I guess. They just come together in this big orgy of Estonian language culture or something fucking here. But in Brussels, it's like, it's a different, like I talked to one guy, well, he's in the army. He's doing shit for NATO. He's squared away. He's fine. You know, he's not a crazy guy jumping up and down at the bar. They were all just reasonable people enjoying the show. Lovely people. Very nice. But not these crazy.
But what day was it though?
Also Monday. True.
Yeah.
True,
yeah, true. Maybe. Also because like Monday. We were like, our shows were at Friday.
Yeah.
Friday, so it was like nuts. A big party night and those guys were having a party.
True.
He said like that party went on till like 5. And when he woke up, there were like people he didn't know at the place. Lying down.
It's that Estonian thing. When people were coming into the Brussels show, like I just said, tada. And if they replied tada to me, I was like, come in. Like, that's good. Yeah. I don't need to see your ticket or your COVID pass. That is enough of a secret word to get you in this door.
Yeah. Right now. When we like, when we were doing tickets at the first place, like I showed people like, oh, you got to go downstairs. Like in London, like you got to go downstairs. So I told this one lady in Estonian, like, hey, are you here for Ari's show? Mm-hmm. And she was like, what? And I saw that she had a ticket on the phone. And I was like, are you here for the Ari show? And he replied to me in English, said, sorry, what, mate? And I was like, oh my God, we're going to have a problem because he doesn't know that the show is in Estonian. But then like it turned out that he was just like shell-shocked from hearing Estonian.
Oh yeah, okay.
So and then all of a sudden he speaks. No idea. But maybe it is like, yeah, big city. You're so used to like speaking English.
Because you wouldn't think like if some Estonian has been in Australia, maybe then you're like, okay, you're a long way from home, you know. Yeah. But maybe something about being in the city of London amplifies that disconnect or something because you're in the big city. Like Brussels, that's why I think it's different, right? There's diplomats. Everyone's a little bit foreign. You can come and go maybe with your work or whatever. But in London, maybe you're all just surrounded by, I don't know, maybe you feel that isolation more in London. So when you see it again, look, let me tell you, if we went to the Aussie bar and there's a bunch of Aussie cunts getting pissed, I for one night, I'd probably be down with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'd probably be like, fuck yeah, mate, we're all fucking partying here in London. Fuck, all right. Like, for one night, I probably, you know, I would just be let myself go with the patriotism.
Yeah, it was like super interesting because like we really wanted to see like, oh, let's see how Estonians are living in London then. And it turns out really fucking good. In center town, 22nd floor.
There's if you've like got that job, right?
There's the guy like at the front desk who says hello.
Oh, such a
20,
place.
20, Jesus. 20 of us walk in. He's like, ooh. And we're speaking like, yabadabadoo. So it was like super, super funny to see his face. He was so shocked.
Tamba, did you see any Estonians in Scotland?
No.
Not one?
Not one.
No, they don't make it that far, no.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's kind of like samey, you know? Like when we went to Edinburgh, it just started raining every day. Like the weather in London was like fairly good.
It was nice, yeah.
But Edinburgh was just... So it's like the more,
best.
So it's like more of the same, you know? Why would you want to...
Why would you go there?
Yeah.
I guess you were making a big thing out of it. We were making a big thing about London as well. It's our show.
Yeah. Well,
come see the big thing.
Yeah. And Chappelle, dude.
And Chappelle. Oh, yeah. So that was the...
Oh, that was so good. Yeah. Delicious.
Just to see it. You went as well?
Yeah.
I you did, saw yeah. it? Okay. Yeah. What did you think about Chappelle?
It was great. And it's really, I don't know. I just enjoy like watching the UK Comedy Collective Facebook group mm-hmm. just like burning down due to like different opinions about Chappelle's clothes or the special.
Just arguing with each other. Oh, the special, not the live show, but the special.
The special, yeah.
Oh, dude, like, yeah, I had guys at Mike's like talking about, you know what? What's the deal with Chappelle's last special? Like 60% of it was just talking about jokes, but I need jokes, man. I need jokes. Where are the jokes? And I was like, oh my God.
You're a bullshit open mic who does five minutes at a bar where nobody's listening to you, but Chappelle, more jokes.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was so dumb. And I couldn't speak to that guy. I was just like, I really liked it. Mm. So yeah.
What was this about? Tim was saying that the, one of the dudes who runs the show like saw your Facebook page and you had like a maybe off looking meme or something.
Oh
on your
yeah,
Facebook page.
Like it's my Facebook. Like I haven't updated my Facebook profile picture or like the banner in like since I was 13.
Exactly, who would? Right.
What's so the banner?
The banner was it was kind of like this 4chan meme where it'd have like some inspirational quote. Well, so you have like a quote or some like you know like inspirational you know images like sure. you know,
black don't crack.
Yeah, but they would have like a funny message on it that would not fit, right? Mm-hmm. So mine, it was just like, you know, this hill, it was a beautiful hill. And the message there was like, be positive, but don't be HIV positive. but the guy who was the booker, this is like a really dumb joke, you know. Like,
yeah. Sure.
But so the booker that I tried to get a spot from, mm-hmm. you know, was a really gay Scottish man. And he was like, well, what's that about?
Really, really gay as in HIV gay.
I don't know. I don't care.
What was the really part?
But he was like, you know, well, what's that about? Like, I was like, and I was like, so like shell shocked. I was like, wordplay.
I get it. Word is going to explain the joke to you.
I was like, you know, it's about like be positive in life, but don't be positive about everything. I don't know. It's, but I did still get the spot and I did good. And I did a second show for him and I was like, you know, he asked me like, oh, how many shows have you done? And I was like, then I also panicked and I said like, oh, under 1,000.
Under 1,000.
So it could be 3.
Yeah, it could be 3.
Yeah. So actually, in actuality, it's like under 300.
Right. But the people are looking at that shit and that's an issue. And then some guy could be like, I didn't quite like that.
Oh, they're so progressive there.
Right. Very progressive.
Super progressive.
Can be nice, but maybe.
It was so weird. When I told like at this one place you were when you finished your set you were supposed to do like an interview with the professional comics who sat there. It was like a gong show.
Oh, okay, so it's a gong show. Okay, this is the one where you do your 5 minutes, but they can gong you off.
Yeah, it didn't matter if you like finished it or you got gonged off.
Okay,
you got an interview with three professional comedians.
So they were like a jury.
Yeah, they like sat, but they didn't judge. They just like gave you pointers.
Oh, okay.
They were like, oh, you, how long have you been doing it? You answer, and they're like, oh, focus on that, or like try, like.
Are you still standing on the stage at this stage?
Yeah.
I say, so you finish the set. It's like, get off. It's whatever. Is there an actual gong or?
Yeah, there's like an actual gong, and they played like a sound as well.
Oh, okay. So it's done. Like,
or some,
you're still standing like there, and the three judges, and they give you some feedback at yeah. least. Okay, so what feedback did they give you?
Oh, they said that they can't really critique my set, and it was really good, and I should move to London.
Okay.
Basically, yeah.
But why I have good warehouse job with Euronics. Yes, such yeah. good prospects in Estonia.
And yeah, but it was like really, well. Really funny. And like, then this like one guy was like, oh, how long are you here for? And I was like, a week. And they were like all surprised, like, a week? And I was like, yes, I'm here to see Chappelle. Mm-hmm. And then this one guy was like, oh, so you're transphobic.
What?
And I just looked straight into his eyes. I said, yes, in my country, you know, bang, 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 bang. And but he got like, but I was like super loose because it was right after my set.
Yeah, sure.
And as I'm doing that, I'm thinking to my head, no. It's like, it's so much more progressive.
You're going to be run out of town. That's it.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to die. Yeah. but everybody laughed like super hard. But like my first, like I got so like, I was so, I don't know, like shocked that I was just like, oh, joke. Yeah. But those guys, the professionals were like, keep it. It's good. And yeah, they kept on telling me like I could get away with like more things, they think, because I'm from like a different society. Yeah,
country, culture. Sure, yeah. That's exactly. You leaned in the accent and that gives you some excuse to.
Yeah, that's why they were maybe like, they were like, oh, you should definitely like, come here and like do more sets and stuff like that. Like they gave me contacts and everything. But it was like super fun. But yeah, it was weird because like two comics after me, there was this person who was trans.
Okay.
And like the trans person, because I can't remember like the specifics
sure.
about that person.
Which way? He to yeah. She to he.
Which way the trans
can be difficult to remember sometimes. The, yeah. You want to show respect, but sometimes it can be yes. hard to remember
which way
is,
the transformation which is which, yes. going. Can't really remember that, so sorry. It was confusing. First time I've ever seen. So, like fireworks, you know, when first time you see, no idea what's going on.
Boom.
Like maybe war. No, it's fun. So yeah, but that person like crushed, mm-hmm. like really good, really good. And he did it like not good in terms of like laughs per minute, but like controlling the silence was like really good. Like he had like total control of the room, which was like really good, like really awesome to see. Like later on we had a chat, it was a blast, but it was like, but it was so weird. Like me doing that joke, but yeah, she wasn't like offended or okay. he wasn't offended. Yeah, it was like, ah, good jokes, everything fine. But yeah, I hadn't seen like anybody at that scene. Like I hadn't seen like doing like so like intense and good. Like he kept like the tension really high. And when the breaking point was like everybody laughed, but it was so in control. Mm. It was super fun to see. So yeah, that's another thing about going there, which was good, like to see other people doing it.
Yeah, different styles.
Yeah, different and it was ways. So fun. Oh, at that one mic, there was a gay guy who like did like gay jokes, but they weren't like hacky gay jokes. They were like really good, like cool angles of the jokes. And he wasn't like he said, like super gay or what was the word, especially gay, HIV gay. He wasn't all that.
He made like every second joke yeah. was about sucking cock. I'm sorry,
yes. Yes. But was he sucking cock? Yeah. But yeah, that guy looked like fucking Klaus, like just normal dude with a sweater.
Good looking Klaus.
Yeah, good looking guy and killed it, and it was so fun to see.
Different styles. So it's good for you guys to see some different things, see different ways, see, you know, and see like because it's kind of the thing. Like we've been. I mean, it's been 2 years of Corona. We've been sitting around doing not that much necessarily. We're all like, I think we're at a pretty high standard here. But when we all just talk to each other, you don't kind of understand it. I think it's good to go to London and get it, right? Absolutely, you could work more. Absolutely, you should be striving tomorrow more. But to just stop for a moment and be like, you know what? This is pretty reasonable. Like if you can do a reasonable 5 minutes at a Comedy Estonia set, you can head to London and do all right, you know?
Yeah. And if you're there for like a short time, you can just like do your best off.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Do your you're right. You don't have to keep changing and evolving. Yeah. It's like doing your first album. You can just do your first 5 minutes over and over again.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But yeah, I was working like on Sander's opening bits in English. That's the way. Because I was like, oh, Dan and everybody else are doing them sets. Yeah. We're going to have a filming soon. So I got to work on those bits, but I'm going to work English. In English. So I was like figuring out shit.
I mean, I did the same with some of my like Estonian bits. And I got like some, you know, better tags and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's super fun to do it like that way.
Mm. But what I like from this trip is that we're all at like, did like different levels of shows. Because you're at Hardy at the top and I'm like a full open spot, like, you know, piss. And, you know, you were like in the middle, like doing. So it's like, I mean, you saw some, like, you had some like really good shows.
Yes.
Right. I mean, Ari apparently had like a career changing set.
The comedy store. Was it the store? What was it? The
Top Secret.
Top Secret Comedy Club. That's right. Yeah. Which again, I mean, as we all know with our friend Ari, you got to filter it through the lens of what Ari, things that Ari says. Things that Ari says are 50% true, 50% false. However, with the 50% that are true are somehow like really true. Like when he gets it right, he's like really fucking right. Like, let's go hang out at a river lock on Sunday. I talked about it in the last podcast. Yeah. Me and Roger and Ari had nothing to do. And Ari's like, let's go hang out at the river and help the boats pass. We're like, what are you talking about? What the fuck? What crazy shit are you meaning? And he means that there's actually a river lock, which is the bit where the water changes and a boat has to go in and the doors close and the boat rises up on the water and it comes off to the, it's how they change the levels.
Yeah, like a dam.
A dam, I guess, that the boats can go up through. And
a few weed cigarettes later, it was super fun.
It was the best shit we'd ever done. It was the greatest way to spend a Sunday. Exactly. When he's right, he's really fucking right.
But yeah, he did that like one, like a couple of days before. Mm. And he said, oh, it was so funny. He said like he went to the mic afterwards and he was just like, he opened with, I opened the dam today. And he said like everybody lost it.
Yeah, this trip was not good. Like it was not good in a way that I learned, like we got so high before we went to Ari's show. Like you had to help me across London. And what that showed me was that I can still get serious things done while being really high, which is not a good lesson for Lewis to learn.
Keep on smoking.
Just keep on going.
I mean, after the Ari shows, there was like a joint.
Oh, yes.
And we were kind of like in a circle sharing it around. Yes. But like, I gave it to somebody who was like, no, gave it to, and it just, back to me again. So I was the only one smoking the joint.
Yeah, Tambet was switching it with his reflection, you know.
Yeah, basically, like, you know, mirroring it backwards, back to me. But it's like, when I was at the train, I was super fucked. I was like,
oh yeah, you should have stayed, dude. You would have loved the party.
I would not have remembered a second.
Waking up there next to two chicks. Threesome again. Again, me with my threesomes. Fuck.
We had to, me and Ari, after you took off on that Sunday for the flight, me and Ari had to get a taxi to the train station. We couldn't negotiate.
Oh, definitely.
We couldn't negotiate the public transport on our own. And the best part was that, so we'd been by the river, we realized we got a tall taxi. We just call it Bolt, whatever. A van comes. Oh, and it's this stage, I think Ari is so deep into the joints that he believes he's Chappelle. Oh, like he believes, like he's like, oh, he's my van. He's like, we're driving across London with my driver in my van. And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's dress. Yes, you're a star. Okay. The Eurostar wasn't, then we took the Eurostar to the train to Brussels. It was pretty easy, actually. You just go, there's like another train station, but there's a border and you get on the train and Fuck, I barely remember the train now I think about it. Yeah, and you get off two hours later.
Was it the
it's
train?
It's not memorable.
It was really easy, actually.
Yeah, then you get off of Brussels and
Oh, it was super fun. I saw this lady on the bus who was wearing like, what's the like warm suit?
Track suit?
No, no, like a warm suit. Like
warm
What do you mean?
Soe peso.
Oh, like under, like
Under Armour.
Warmth. This tough figure hugging the tight things, tights or like something.
Yeah, she was wearing it like as pants, They were like inside out. And I was like, the fuck's going on? Like, is this real or am I just imagining it? But yeah, it was. And the train ride was like super. I was like so stressed out. And when I got
this is the one to that Estonian guy's place. Which train ride?
No. When I said goodbye to you.
Oh, and you were going to the airport because you're going to Stansted or some other fucking place.
Some airport, yes. And when we arrived there, there were like two terminals, like the northern and the southern. And the one where I arrived to was closed, like entirely. So I'm walking around inside of an empty air. Air terminal, yes, empty. Everything is empty. No screens, nothing. And I don't have like on my ticket. I don't have internet, so I can't like refresh the ticket. So I'm just like looking at the picture of the ticket. There isn't like no information. So I'm just like hoping that somebody comes. And then this like cleaning lady came and I was like, hey, hello, where? And she was like, oh, you gotta take the shuttle to the other terminal. Yes. So I had to do that. Oh, I was super stressed for a moment because there were some signs that said like no flights coming in or leaving. And I was like, am I at the wrong place?
Oh, boys. Well, thank you. Look, we've done an hour. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's good you him and Dumb. And he's doing some two runnies.
Oh,
it's good night for me.
This guy's super homophobic.
Him. He is. That's what
the guy was extra homo.
I looked at his Facebook and that's what I've learned. That is that still, did you change your Facebook picture, Tumpet?
Yeah.
Okay, straight away, you were like, look,
I changed my profile picture.
Yeah, he zoomed in on the joke. Yeah. No hills anymore.
It's now just a picture that says, go home, faggot, or something like that. That's, you know, you got to update the Facebook.
Probably, yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks, boys. Thank you.
Ta-da.